broadcasting from the shores of El Pacifico, Phil Hendry.
Just dealing with the fact that I hurt someone or took anything away, you know, from a talented artist.
The Septembers have come and gone. Nearly 3,000 days have passed.
Friendlies have suffered the IED attack, and they're definitely digging in the road.
Watching the television, I left the meeting based on what was being reported.
Right on, boys.
Definitely going to wonder who the Canadians are from here on out.
That's you hate your job.
World famous Phil Hendry show every night till 1 o'clock on the West Coast and 4 a.m. on the East Coast, a news, talk, and entertainment show where truth is our bitch. And coming up this hour, Bobby Dooley from the Western Estates Homeowners Association and Parent Teacher Organization will be talking with us about some of the things that we're talking about. She's looking to get a radio show on the air and will give us an idea of what it is she wants to do as a mother, as a housewife, as a representative, and I put that in quotes, American woman. We'll also have the stories we couldn't get to at the tail end of the program. There's tons of things still to discuss. One of them is this guy, Representative Joe Wilson. Now, I heard Jimmy Carter said something, and they said that he was saying this about Wilson. I didn't hear that. I heard Jimmy Carter in either a town hall or an interview after the town hall say that much of the negative attitude about Barack Obama is based upon the fact that he's black. I have to say that I agree with the former president in substance, and I don't agree with much of anything that the former president says, and I will say this, I voted for him. So there is, you know, that's the first cat that I ever did vote for, because I was 20 years old when the 72 election came around. In 1976, I had just turned 24, and it was my first election, and I was just so thrilled to cast my vote for Jimmy Carter. And after he left office, I was like, okay. But when he says what he says, is it 100% about Obama's race? I don't think I'm willing to go there. Now, I said this a couple hours ago, and I'm going to repeat it. Sometimes you can't really explain it more than just by making the statement, and you hope that people are kind of getting the drift, you know. I am a Caucasian. And when other Caucasians say the following words to me, oh no, I never base my decisions on someone's race, I rarely believe it. When someone says to me, it isn't about his race, it's about his politics, I rarely believe it. When Geraldine Ferraro said, the reason why he's being elected is because he's black, I knew that she was an idiot. Not because of the statement, but because she didn't know why she said it. I'll tell you why she said it. She said it because the racial component was ever present in her mind. The give a hand to a, you know, a hook a brother up component, you know, a little hand up for the black guy component. This is how whites think. Now, is it bad of me to put a lot of white people into one big package and say, this is how whites think? Well, to be perfectly honest with you, I've been hearing white people say it about black people for so long. Maybe I'm just kind of going along with the flow here. But in my experience, and I wasn't raised in the South. I wasn't raised in the hot, sweltering, northeastern urban centers of New York or Boston or Washington, where everybody's jammed together and everyone is... you know, everybody is sweltering in the heat and bugging each other. And I wasn't raised in the Chicago stockyard neighborhoods where Martin Luther King said the single most racist city in America existed, that Chicago. Martin Luther King said Chicago was worse than any southern city had ever been in. No, I was raised in Southern California. Southern California, the home of Hollywood, the home of the progressive beach scene, the home of style and fashion, of smog and the freeway shootings, the home of Chill Out, the Esalen Institute, Est, Joan Baez, and, you know, the Watts riots, man. This is where I'm from. And people in California will tell you, well, you know, we ain't the Deep South, man. We're progressive out here. But I can tell you this right now, folks. You've never been in a more segregated city in your life than the city of Los Angeles. Never. Never. It doesn't exist. First integrated neighborhood I ever saw was in Orlando, Florida. Now, you may say that's Florida, but I got news for you, and I say this with all due respect. Orlando is like, you might as well be in Alabama. So forget about the whole Florida thing. And there's nothing wrong with Alabama. I'm just saying it ain't Miami, is what I'm saying. But it was the first integrated neighborhood I had ever seen in my life when I traveled as a kid, a 19-year-old kid, to work in the construction business down to Orlando, Florida, where they were building Disney World, and I'm looking at blacks and whites. And I grew up in Los Angeles, where the neighborhoods are lily white or Asian or black, and never the twain shall meet. So nobody's going to sit there and tell me, if they're white, how it is. Because I just, don't insult me. Don't insult my intelligence. I can tell you honestly that I have never, you know, this delusional thinking, this self-brainwashing has been going on not for decades. It's been going on for generations. It's been going on for centuries, the way we think. Do you understand? If we, as white people, say the following, blacks ought to get over, dot, 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 well, then we ought to get over, dot, dot, dot. We ought to get over the sense that they're just complaining about things. Because after a while, what you have to ask yourself, if you're intelligent, well, maybe there's something going on that they're complaining about and I don't see it. If you're intelligent. Because after a while, if you keep dismissing it as the following, oh, they're just complaining, where don't you understand the meaning of the word racist? You are saying, essentially, they're constructed in such a fashion as all they know how to do is bitch. Because the world that I see is fantastic, and it has opportunity for everybody. Really, the world you see. Yes, I see, it's just great, and all they do is bitch. Uh-huh. You don't think there's anything to what they're saying. No, there's nothing to it. Let me tell you something, pal. My parents were Italians, and they got, well, do you think the experience of Italians was that, hey, buddy, they called us WAPs, I didn't care. So your parents were slaves on what plantation? Oh, get out of here. Why, the cops used to beat us up? Okay. All right, so in other words, there's something sort of organically wrong with those people then. Well, what do you mean? Well, if your parents were Italians and they learned how to speak English and they worked really hard and they kicked ass and they made it and the blacks didn't, well, that's because they're complaining all the time, see? They expect a handout, see? Right, I understand that, but why do they expect a handout? Why are they complaining all that time? Well, because that's just how they are. Oh, that's just how they are. And you're telling me that you're just a real egalitarian, you know, equanimous and fantastic lover of humanity. Well, I don't understand, Henry. You tricked me into that. No, I didn't trick you into Jack. That's how you think, man. That's how you think, see? When did you ever become a black lover? You want to know how I became a black lover? You really want to know? Yeah, I do. Okay, I'll tell you. When I was a kid, I grew up in a home where I wasn't treated well, just as my brother and my sisters were not treated well. And I saw my mother at the Catholic parish that we went to, ostracized because she was divorced. She wasn't embraced. Nobody came to help her or help us. Nobody said, you know, it's a tough thing that's happened to your family. My mother was pushed away. And she was forced to go back to work when she was 50. And I didn't have really the coolest clothes to wear to school. I had to walk to school. I didn't have a car. I had to hitchhike. I didn't know how to ask girls out. Oh, what are you trying to say? You're black because... No, I'm not saying I'm black. All I'm telling you is, ever since that time in my life, when I had to shoplift for food because I was hungry, but I didn't want to tell myself I was hungry, I told myself I was shoplifting because it was fun. Ever since then, I don't like it when I see people being put down or walked on or rolled over. That's why I support gay people. That's why I support anybody that is getting a rotten deal and is being lied to, and anybody who's trying to just take a piece of this world equally with the rest of us. Somebody trying to tell me, oh, everything's good, man. I don't believe it, man. There isn't a brand of horse dung yet that has been sold to Phil Hendry that I thought was chocolate milk. So don't start telling me now, okay? Now, I told you, Jimmy Carter, in my mind, says some things that are so stupid. I mean stupid. Excuse me for saying it. But stupid. That I can't believe I voted for the guy for president. But in this case, when he says he thinks that there is a racial component to the disliking of Barack Obama, I agree with him. Not because I'm a liberal, not because I'm a conservative. I wouldn't hang out with liberals, man, if they were inviting me to a pool party with nothing but, I mean, the centerfold of the month going back 10, 15 years. You know, it was like an all-star cast. I wouldn't hang out with those people for love or money. And the same thing with those jackass conservatives. I don't like any of them. What I do like is the straight, honest truth. And the only way we're going to get through it in this country, man, is we quit lying to ourselves. We quit bullcrapping ourselves and tell the damn truth. Now, if you don't like Obama because he's a liberal, all right. Although I have to tell you, he's a pragmatist before a liberal. I saw this guy. I don't know whether it's going to break the news or break the hearts of people who are listening, but Barack Obama has already approved extending certain aspects of the Patriot Act. Now, does that, what kind of liberal does that make him? Today, the president, Obama, extended segments of the Patriot Act. You know the Patriot Act. You heard about that one, right? The one that was shredding the Constitution? The one that was creating secret gulags all over the world? The one that had just, destroyed the Constitution of the United States? You know that Patriot Act. Well, it's just been extended by our president, and I say, right on, man. Right on. This is the same Barack Obama who ain't going to release any detainee photos. He's not doing what the sweethearts in the liberal movement want him to do. There's also a guy who says, here's something we need to do. It's called a healthcare plan. Now, we don't have to debate the healthcare plan, but what I'm talking about here is very simply this. Is this guy, Obama, disliked for his policies or disliked because he is black? Or is it the combination of the two, as I indicated to a caller last week? I believe it is the combination of the two. I cannot see people disliking Colin Powell for his race were he a conservative, were he elected president as a Republican and conservative. Former general, there might be some disgruntled people. But I don't understand, I can't wrap my mind around the fact that conservatives wouldn't like him because he was black. Now, saying that Michelle Obama is trash is a racist comment. Anybody that would say that is a dyed-in-the-wool racist. Self-hating. Racist. Talking about Obama with watermelon and fried chicken, and you think it's funny, and you're too stupid to understand what those images mean, you're just a dumbass racist cracker. I don't give a damn what anybody tells me. I don't care what the excuse is. I wasn't born yesterday. When they talk about Obama being a commie, this is an ignoramus, racist. Why? Because if you were smart enough, you could do your own, it would take you a half of a day to do your own research and find out that isn't the case at all. You could read the health care bill and see the provisions about illegal immigrants and know that it doesn't cover illegal immigrants. But that would mean the truth. And who wants truth, man, when you can hate the guy because he's black or because he's a liberal or because he's a socialist and you can just are comfortable in their little stupid world of tea parties and wearing three-cornered hats. You know, those were my founding fathers, too. And I can tell you right now, John Adams wasn't an ignoramus. Neither was Thomas Jefferson or Alexander Hamilton or Patrick Henry, although Patrick Henry was a racist. Maybe some of you guys like Patrick Henry. What do you think? Don't go around wearing that three-cornered hat like you represent the founding of my country, like you know what it's about. You wouldn't know the Constitution from the Declaration of Independence. You wouldn't know the Constitution from the Sears catalog. And by the way, one more thing, and then we'll take a break. I got to tell you, this is beautiful, man. And then we'll get into the Representative Wilson getting rebuked. I don't think Wilson's a racist. I don't know, but I don't think it's what Carter was referring to when he talked about racism in America. Nonetheless, some of these people are really going off the deep end about Wilson now. Listen to this and learn. President Bush warned the GOP to have caution on their choice of, guess who? Sarah Palin, according to a new book. All right, we'll talk about that more when we come back here. 877-876-PHIL, world famous Phil Hendry Show.
Phil Hendry.
Anyway, they rebuked Joe Wilson, the bitterly divided over an accusatory outburst. You lie. Lawmakers voted Tuesday to admonish one of their own for his jarring interruption of President Barack Obama. The resolution of disapproval against Representative Joe Wilson, a Republican, added to the already toxic atmosphere of partisanship in the House. Democrats said Wilson's behavior during Obama's speech to Congress last week was an egregious display of disrespect that could not be ignored. Now, let's play this audio, but we know where the country is, and we also know that it's the House of Representatives, it's our Congress. What do you ignore when someone does something? When you say, for instance, we're in the middle of a really, really difficult period of time here, and we've got a lot of really, we have a lot of rancor and disagreement and strife over very important issues. Do we need to deal with this right now? And then you have to ask your question, ask the question, okay, do we? Is it important enough to deal with? Behavior in the House of Representatives, like everything else that we were talking about in the first hour, when someone says the F word in public, when somebody is behaving in a way that we don't like a kid or someone, I don't care if it's on a stage like Kanye West, I'm able to separate what is performance art and what is reality. Reality is the Congress and you and me when we walk into a place and we hear kids that are yelling four-letter words or we see guys treating women with disrespect in public, or it is the Congress, right? Is it important? Well, let's ask ourselves that. Well, listen to this. This is Representative Hank Johnson of Georgia. He says, if Congress doesn't rebuke Wilson, there will be a resurgence of the KKK.
If I were a betting man, I would say that it instigated more racist sentiment, feeling that it's okay. You don't have to bury it now. You can bring it out, talk about it fully. And so I guess we'll probably have folks putting on white hoods and white uniforms again and riding through the countryside, intimidating people. And, you know, that's the logical conclusion if this kind of attitude is not rebuked. And Congressman Wilson represents it. He's the face of it. And that's why I support the resolution.
All right, well, that's logical to a black man, but that's not what's going to happen. He feels there's racism inherent in what this guy Wilson said. And I'm not willing to say Wilson's a racist. I think there's a lot of racist sentiment about opposition to Obama. I don't know what Wilson's mind is. I don't know what's going through his mind when he said you lie. But if it is racism, it is the kind of racism that we've lived with for the most part in this country, which is not KKK. It's not riding through the neighborhoods. It's just that good old-fashioned neighborhood, you know, who's that moving in next door? All right, here is James Clyburn, also a Democrat, speaking in favor of the rebuke.
This resolution addresses an issue of great importance to current and future members of this august body, the proper conduct of its members. Despite statements made by various leaders of the other party, this is not about partisan politics or inappropriate comments. To the contrary, this is about the rules of this House and reprehensible conduct.
Now, that man is right. The other guy is an idiot. This guy, Clyburn, nailed it. It's about the rules of the House and what you're allowed to do and what is expected of the membership. It is a certain decorum that goes back to the founding of the country. To the founding of the country. If you're going to wear a three-cornered hat, and you're going to talk all this great stuff about our founding fathers, these are the rules that were put into place by those men. You don't do certain things. We got a thing called the loyal opposition. It's known only in America. We invented it. It means you can be opposed to the policies of an administration, but you're not opposed to the spirit and the idea of America. And by God, we circle the wagons. when people attack us. That's being transmitted across the world, that speech by Obama. And to have a member of the House of Representatives shout that out shows us to be less than what we'd like to be. You know, in other words, act like a freaking human being, okay? All right, we'll be back on the Phil Hendry Show, 877-876-PHIL.
Phil Hendry. You're listening to the world-famous Phil Hendry Show.
Now, like I said, and as we've said so many times in this show, I don't care. I'm through playing this game of liberal-conservative. I don't do it. And the reason why I don't do it is because nobody else in the country is really doing it anymore. I know that people still call themselves conservatives and liberals, but I don't even think they know what that means. And the people that do know what it means and still embrace it are so insignificant and so irrelevant, it almost makes you want to cry for them. What I'm interested in is, okay, what are the rules and what are we dealing with here? Are they right? Are they not? And what helps the country? And what's the truth of the story? Now, Joe Wilson did what he did, and it was a disgrace, in my opinion. I heard him say it. I saw Pelosi give the look. You know, she's going to do what she's going to do. Frankly, if I were her, I probably would have done the same thing. This is the president giving an address to a joint assembly of Congress. And no, we're not going to move on from it until we explain this thing, because we opened the show talking about behavior. This is a United States House of Representatives congressman, and he should know better. And to yell the words "you lie," especially when he's got the health bill in front of him, he can read as well as anybody else. To engage in that kind of politicking and partisanship in the middle of a address by the president to a joint group of Congress, the joint session of Congress, is the worst kind of politicking and partisanship and just hack ideologue behavior that I've ever seen in my life. Having said all of that, and he should be rebuked. Having said all of that, there was another guy that opened his big fat mouth on the floor of the House of Representatives in 2007. And his name was Pete Stark. And he engaged in something that was, quite frankly, far more commonplace during the Bush administration, and that was calling Bush names, calling President Bush a murderer, calling him an idiot, calling him an imbecile. I just saw this scumbag, Paul Begala, on CNN, who apparently was, as I said, he was going out and getting the stains out of dresses for President Clinton when he was in the Clinton White House. I don't know what he does now. They call him an expert. Maybe he's an expert on something, maybe on why he has hair on his palms, but that is another story. But in any event, in 2007, Republicans unsuccessfully introduced a censure resolution against Representative Pete Stark, a Democrat, for saying during a debate on U.S. troops being sent to Iraq that they get their heads blown off for the president's amusement. A disgraceful thing to say, an ignorant thing to say, but he was encouraged, I'm sure, by the company that he was keeping. And as you all know, the intelligence level of the anti-Iraq war movement was never all that impressive. In fact, some days it was downright embarrassing. And maybe Pete Stark represents the high end of it, but here he was in 2007 talking about Bush enjoying troops being killed.
First of all, I'm just amazed that they can't figure out, the Republicans are worried that we can't pay for insuring an additional 10 million children. They sure don't care about finding $200 billion to fight the illegal war in Iraq. Where are you going to get that money? You going to tell us lies like you're telling us today? Is that how you're going to fund the war? You don't have money to fund the war or children, but you're going to spend it to blow up innocent people if we can get enough kids to grow old enough for you to send to Iraq to get their heads blown off for the president's amusement.
All right, and then he apologized.
I want to apologize to my colleagues, many of whom I have offended, to the president, his family, to the troops that may have found in my remarks, as were suggested in the motion that we just voted on, And I do apologize. And I, for this reason, I think that we have a serious issue before us, the issue of providing medical care to children, the issue of what we're going to do about a war that we're divided about how to end. I hope that with this apology, I will become as insignificant as I should be, and that we can return to the issues that do divide us, but that we can resolve in a better fashion.
All right, so that was Pete Stark standing up like a man and apologizing, as did Wilson. Now, here are the words of Barney Frank. Now, a lot of people go, oh, Barney Frank, what that, you know, well, I shouldn't say, but, you know.
You're going to say fag.
Will you shut up? All right, man, if you didn't say it, well, you got to say it.
I got to make sure.
Oh, you ain't got to make sure nothing. Here is what Barney Frank said, and I agree with Barney. He said, I don't think, in fact, I think it's bad precedent to put us in charge of deciding whether people act like jerks. I don't have the time to monitor everyone's civility. So he voted present. He didn't vote yes. He didn't vote no. He voted present, which probably was cool with the party leadership, so that they could say, you know, well, at least you didn't vote no. But he didn't vote yes either. I agree with the sentiment, but by the same token, you have to take note of these things, and you have to call them out on them, and you have to get at least an apology, and you have to get them on the record. And whether you want to rebuke the guy is a thing entirely up to the Congress. I wouldn't fool around with it either. The Democrats blocked a Republican attempt to censor Pete Stark, who said that the president was amused by the deaths of American soldiers. It's an unbelievable statement to make. It's been repeated by other jackasses, but you know, in TV and radio. But the fact is, for a U.S. Congressman to say that, that's a whole different ballgame. The Democrats, however, were able to rebuke Joe Wilson because of the party line vote. There weren't enough Republicans in Congress in 2007 and in order to get this censure of Pete Stark. And there were not enough Republicans in Congress in 2009 to stop the censure of Joe Wilson. So that was why that went down along party lines. To Barney Frank's credit, a Democrat who you'd think would vote with the Democrats, he said, no, I don't want to get involved in that stuff. I like that. But you got to get these guys on the record as saying, I'm sorry, I acted like a slob. This is not the way we conduct our business in the United States Congress, and especially when it's being televised around the world as a speech to the joint session. And I'm sorry. And he did. He said it. So they were successful in rebuking Wilson. And now we can get on with life. Okay. 877-876-PHIL. Here is Brian in Seattle. Brian, you're on the Phil Hendry Show.
Hey, how's it going?
Good, good. Oh,
thanks.
Thanks
for taking my call. I just wanted to say that when I was watching that outburst on the television, I thought I was watching the British Parliament with the raucous. I was very ashamed.
Yeah.
To hear that anybody, regardless of whether you're Republican, Democrat, Independent, whether the president is a Republican or Democrat, that that would happen. I was very, very ashamed that that would happen. And then when I listened to his apology, he apologized. But then he basically said, but if you agree with me, send me some money.
Yeah, they did. Yeah.
And they did.
They also said. Yeah, yeah. And they also sent a lot of money to his opponent, too, though. I think they sent more money to his opponent. By the way, you know, you bring up the House of Commons, Brian. I get a kick out of watching that. I actually, maybe you do too. I really have a lot of fun watching how they go back and forth, and they're pretty rude, and they're pretty up in each other's faces. We don't do that because it's not a parliamentary process that we have in our country. But when I watch that, I think, boy, that would be kind of a cool way to do things over here, though. Have Obama or Bush or whoever.
I have a beer.
Yeah, you know.
Everybody.
I know, man. It's really cool. It is. It's insane.
But at the same time, yeah, you know, I gotta say that I you know, I'm an independent. I don't call myself a Republican or Democrat. I think it's the two party system is faulty. But I know many, many Democrats in the 8 years of Bush would have loved to have screamed something at Bush.
And, oh yeah, yeah, yeah.
You know, and this is the first time ever this has happened. So I think that, you know, people
at the president,
yeah, exactly, and what agree with what Bush or what Obama was trying to do with the healthcare plan, you know, fine, get out of the assembly, say it to the reporters. But I thought it was immature.
You made a point, and your point is very good. When you say the first time, this is why I'm suspicious of the anger and the resentment. And Brian, thank you so much for your call toward Obama. Why Obama, the first president to have a congressman shout something at him in a speech to a joint session? Why? And don't tell me it's because he's proposing something so radically different, because it isn't radically different. If we look at this country and how we do business, it's not radically different. I had a really fun conversation over the weekend with people on the car insurance, health insurance thing, right? You love that? Oh, you see, here's the difference between the car insurance and that you don't understand. Okay, well, tell me what's different between health insurance and car insurance. Well, number one, you don't have to have a car. No, you're right. You don't have to have a car. You don't have to have a car. You're right. We actually have a public option if you don't have a car. You don't have to have health insurance. But unlike health insurance, there is no public option. Well, what do you mean? What do I mean? If you don't have a car, guess what the public option is? There are buses and there are trains, and they are municipally administered, or they are administered by the state or the county. We have a public option. Well, you don't have to. What if you can't afford those? Well, if you can't afford those, then you can take a shuttle service that sometimes they provide for people who are in need, or you can hitchhike on a beautiful interstate system that is also publicly provided. You understand? Now, people will say, yeah, but see, the car insurance isn't to protect you. The car insurance is for you to be able to pay for somebody you hurt. Well, I can also argue that the health insurance is required of those people to protect me so I don't have to pay for their ass. As a matter of fact, that's exactly why we're requiring people to have health insurance. You think it's because we have this milk of human kindness running out of our veins? This is one of the things that people don't get about the health care debate. They think Obama just wants to wrap his arms around everybody and just love everybody to death. What Obama's saying, what proponents of this health care plan are saying, including myself, is the following. I don't want to have to pay more money at the behest of a health insurance company. I'd rather, in the short run, pay more money because I, as a tax-paying, voting American, through my Congress of the United States, made the decision so that I don't have to pay for those jackasses who aren't insured, so that they have to carry their own insurance, so I don't get that passed along to me by the higher premiums, so that we don't listen to this constant and unending screeching about how much it's costing the rest of us because somebody doesn't have health insurance. But health insurance has no public option. Auto insurance does. You don't want to have a car? You don't have to have a car. There's a public option called the bus system and the subway system. You don't want to ride the bus system or the subway system? You can probably find an inexpensive jitney or some private wildcat taxi cab, gypsy taxi maybe, huh? Yeah. And in the very least, if you can't get anywhere, you can sit and die, and I'm sure the state would be happy to pay for your funeral because you've decided not to avail yourself of auto insurance. You're not going to drive a car. You're not going to take a bus or a taxi or a subway. You're going to sit on your ass and croak from starvation. And there is the public option kicking in again. The coroner comes in and the state and the county come in and bury your ass someplace. At the end of the day, man, they take it out of your ass one way or another. Because if you croak and you don't leave a will, guess who gets the money? Uncle Sam and the state that you live in. 877-876-PHIL. Let's take one phone call. Well, a couple of phone calls here before we take a break for the night. Mike in Seattle. Hi, Mike. You're on the Phil Hendry Show. What's going on tonight?
Hey, Phil. How you doing?
I'm good. Thank you.
Good. Thank you. Kind of. I like President Obama. I think he's a good president. But I work with a guy from England, and he's telling me over there how sky high their taxes are because of their public health care. And mm-hmm. I'm just kind of wondering how actually is it not going to raise taxes sky high?
Well, you know, it's always interesting to get this anecdotal information from this person or that person. But I can tell you, in the case of American health care, that's the kind that's being proposed, In Britain, they don't have the private insurance option that we have. They, I do not believe, operate this kind of national health exchange that's being proposed. Their public plan is the plan, man. Everybody is on the plan. In Canada, the same way. In the United States, what's being proposed, and this is what I always liken it to, I liken it to like football or baseball, you know. Rugby's okay, but we took it and turned it into football. Rounders and cricket, that's fine, but we grabbed it and we turned it into baseball. National health care, that's groovy, but we like a little bit of a private option. So what we proposed here is the private health insurance, the private health insurance exchange, and if you can't afford either one of those, a public plan. In Britain and Canada, all there is the public plan. There is private medical care if you can afford it. You can go to your doctor anytime you want. But for the most part, there is this overarching, and some people think overreaching, but I've talked to people from Canada, they love it, this national plan. Thanks, brother, for your call, Mike. Excuse me, but, you know.
What have you been doing, man?
Talking on the radio, that's why, my throat.
Yeah, man, you know. Let me get your water.
I've been drinking water. Well, I've been drinking coffee, same thing for me anyway. 877-876 is the number here, 877-876-PHIL. And don't forget, on our website every night you can see live streaming video of our show, as we have been streaming it tonight, if you'll pardon the pun. And boy, have we ever. And coming up next is the news, the stories that we didn't get to. We'll be right back with those here on The Phil Hendry Show.
You're listening to the world-famous Phil Hendry Show. Phil Hendry.
Time now for the world-famous Phil Hendry Show stories we couldn't get to. Now, get a load of this one. This is from London, England. A group of school children who reared a lamb from birth and named it Marcus has overridden objections by parents and rights activists. And I wish I could talk gooder. That's all I wish.
Yeah.
A group of school children who reared a lamb from birth and named it Marcus has overridden objections by parents and rights activists and voted to send the animal to slaughter. All right.
Are you kidding me?
I am not kidding. I'm not kidding. Marcus, the six-month-old lamb, has now been culled, the head teacher of the primary school in Kent confirmed on Monday, after the school's council, a 14-member group of children aged 6 to 11, voted 13-1 to have him killed. Anyway, the decision has provoked fury among animal-loving celebrities, animal and human rights campaigners, and the parents of some of the children, and led to threats against Lydd Primary School and its teachers, according to a member of the staff. Well, the kids voted on it. They reared the damn thing. Animals ain't got the same rights as human beings, last I checked. Although I do believe that, you know, kids don't have the right to send an animal to slaughter unless the parents involve themselves in that decision. And although in this case, I think kids ought to be able to override their parents. I think that's good. The decision has provoked fury. Well, I already told you about that. And who cares about the fury of the parents? Anyway, around 250 children at the school take part in a program designed to teach them about rearing and breeding animals. And what do you do after you rear and breed an animal? You slaughter it and you eat it. The educational farm was started this year with Marcus being hand-fed by the children. The children also look after ducks, chickens, rabbits, and guinea pigs. The intention had been to buy pigs with the money raised from slaughtering Marcus, but those plans have been put on hold following the furor created by the lambs, and they call it culling, C-U-L-L-I-N-G, whatever that is. The school said the program may now have to be stopped. Well, what the hell did they send their kids to this school for? I don't understand. I mean, it's like a 4-H club or something, right? Despite that, the school said that there had been overwhelming support among the children, the staff, and most of the parents to have Marcus, a castrated male who could not have been used for breeding, sent to the slaughterhouse. But opponents branded it heartless and cruel, with animal rights campaigners asking why Marcus could not have been used to teach the children about wool, and human rights campaigners worried about the emotional impact of Marcus's death on the children. What if it made the kids feel good? An animal rights group wants to rent a prison building the state plans to close and turn into the nation's first chicken empathy museum. This is in Virginia. A People for the Ethical Treatment of Animals official sent a letter Monday to Governor Tim Kaine asking to rent the Bodicourt Correctional Center in Troutville. Kane's spokeswoman Lydia Tran said the state doesn't lease to private entities except for cases grandfathered in when it purchases buildings. PETA spokeswoman Ashley Byrne said the Norfolk-based group thinks a former prison is the ideal setting for exhibits on what it contends is mistreatment of chickens raised for slaughter. You know, folks, that PETA is joking 99% of the time. I mean, they think they're making a point, but their points, their jokes are so badly done that all people wind up doing is getting pissed at them. I mean, what do you mean a chicken empathy center? Anyway, a lot of people consider that to be sex therapy, so just, you know. Anyway, Ryman said the museum also would have displays detailing chickens' habits and intelligence. What do you mean, like chickens' nun habits? And intelligence. Well, maybe. How about this? We compare the intelligence of a chicken to the typical PETA activist. It may just turn out to be a very educational moment. All right, in other news here in the stories that we couldn't get to, from Bethlehem, Pennsylvania, police in eastern Pennsylvania said a man charged with drunken driving faces more charges after allegedly trying to speed. Never mind.
Phil Hendry.
Sorry.